Amen. Amen. Well, it is good to be here this morning. Thank you so much for tuning in by way of Facebook. Let me say quickly this morning, thank you for everyone that had a part in the pictures. What a blessing that was to my heart. I promise you, you'll never know how much that meant to me this morning walking in. So good to see each one of you. Even if it is just a picture, it is good to look out and see you this morning, and appreciate you tuning in, and thank you for your patience. Continue to pray for us. We've been talking a little bit about what will be going on in the days ahead. We are looking at maybe trying to get some things back a little bit more on schedule, and you just pray for us, pray the Lord give us wisdom, and we make the right decisions there. And boy, aren't you thankful for Brother Sammy and him preaching this morning. I told Brother Brett after we left Brother Sammy's this morning, I had to take him back to Dobson, and I told him, I said, I'm going to miss it just a little bit, as much as I'm looking forward to getting everybody back. I've enjoyed being able to preach together and hear Brother Sammy every week, and we're going to miss it just a little bit, but we are looking forward to things getting back to normal. Just want to share a thought with you this morning the Lord's put on my heart, and I'll be honest with you, you've heard it before, most of you from Blue Ridge have, and I just could not get away from this last night, and Brother Sammy made a statement this morning, and just kind of echoed a little bit about what I want to preach on. But if you have your Bibles, go with me quickly this morning, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 66, Isaiah chapter number 66 and verse number 23. Well, let's begin reading in verse 22, if you would. Isaiah chapter number 66 and verse number 22. The Bible said there, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Verse 23, the Bible said, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Notice verse 24, that'll be our text this morning. The Bible said, they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. They shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Notice verse 24. One more time this morning, the Bible said, they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I still love you this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for the privilege, God, the honor to be back in your house. Lord, I don't know the hearts this morning. Lord, I don't know who may be listening to the sound of my voice, but Lord, I'm sure in a crowd as many as there is, no doubt they must be one listening that is lost, never been saved by your grace. Lord, I pray this morning, I pray you'd snuggle up close to them, convict their heart. Lord, I pray this morning you show them the realness of dying and going to hell. Lord, without you, Lord, I pray for every child of God. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, would you help us to have a greater burden, Lord, a stronger burden for the lost than we've ever had. Lord, I pray meet every need, encourage that one is discouraged. Lord, I pray if anyone walking the far distance away, would you draw them up close to you once again. We'll be careful how to give you all the praise, honor, and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, notice with me this morning quickly what the Bible said here in verse 22. The Bible said there, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Now, I won't say this. I heard a preacher, Brother Sammy, one time made this statement to me, and I'll be honest. I don't know that this is entirely true, but I'll tell you what he told me. He made the statement that you'll notice in studying the book of Isaiah, there's 66 chapters, and there's also 66 books in your Bible. He told me if you study the chapters of Isaiah, that they correspond to that same book of the Bible. For instance, if you look at Isaiah 1, you'd find truths and lessons and ideas that would correspond to the thoughts of the book of Genesis. So tonight, this morning we find ourselves in Isaiah chapter 66. And I do know this morning that it corresponds to the portion we've read, corresponds to the book of Revelation. You say, preacher, how do you know? It is the book of Revelation where he begins to talk about a new heaven and a new earth. And here in Isaiah 66, the Bible said, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make. That's future tense. He's not dealing with something that's happening in Isaiah's day, nor even our day, but he's dealing with future events. We're looking at prophetic events here in our text. The Bible said, I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, a soul shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass, once again, a future tense, that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Now watch verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. Now notice with me this morning the phrasing in the latter part of the verse. For their worm shall not die. Now you don't have to agree with me this morning, but I'm going to tell you what I believe. Brother Sammy, I found that in the New Testament as well. And the Lord was referring, Kirk, to hell. And he said, it's a place where their worm dieth not. And Isaiah's echoing it here in verse number 24. Their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. That's the same description, Chris, that the Lord give concerning hell. Now you believe whatever you want to this morning, but I will tell you this. Brother Sam in the Bible said, be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. And if nothing else, Chris, there will come a day at the great white throne judgment. The Bible said that all the dead, both small and great, shall stand before God. And Kirk, I'll be there that day. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if he's going to be there, I'll be there. And can I say this? I'll not be there to be judged. But we'll watch, Brother Chris, as those that have never been saved by the grace of God are judged out of the things in the books. And the Bible said in the book of life would be opened up. And those that their name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast in the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And Chris will observe that. We'll see that. And you believe whatever you want to. I personally, Brother Sammy, I believe that tears will all be wiped away after that day. I believe there'll be mamas watch their babies cast into the lake of fire. I believe there'll be wives watch their husbands and husbands watch their wives. I believe there'll be youngins watch mom and daddy. I believe we'll watch our friends and our co-workers stand before God and be judged out of the book of life. And those that have never been saved by the grace of God will be cast into the lake of fire. And Kirk, I believe we'll see it. And I believe this morning that's what Isaiah 66 verse 24, I believe that's what it's referring to. I believe we'll look into the pits of the lake of fire. I believe we'll see the carcasses of the men and the women that have transgressed against the Lord. That's what the Bible said. We'll look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And there they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. What a sad day to be. To look into the lake of fire and see death and hell cast in. And see our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors. Can you imagine the whales? Can you imagine, Kirk, as they look at us and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me this would be how it was? Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me that this is what was coming? You say, preacher, you really believe that? Absolutely, tonight, for this morning. I will preach just a few minutes with the help of the Lord on this thought. When you look into hell, what do you see? saved. Brother Sammy, it's Luke chapter 16. The only time we'll find that the Lord pulls back the curtain of hell and allows us to have a glimpse into what hell will really be. Kirk, if we could pull back the carpet and pull back the subfloor and pull back the floor joists and dig down far enough to be able to look into hell this morning, I wonder what it is that we'd see. I'll tell you what our problem is. In Luke 16, you find the account, Brother Chris, of two men, a beggar by the name of Lazarus, and then the Bible does not give him a name, but a nameless rich man. And we know that Lazarus died and how that he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the Bible said the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Brother Sammy, you know what I'm convinced our problem is this morning? When we think about hell, we see a nameless rich man. It's somebody we've never seen. Somebody we don't know. But what I'm interested in this morning is for us to take a time to look into hell and see not only a nameless rich man, but it's time we put a face and a name to hell. I'm convinced, friend, it wouldn't be so light. It wouldn't be such a light burden. It'd break our heart if we'd really put a face and really put a name to hell. In fact, notice what the Bible said in verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. Brother Sammy, I read that and I get a picture of coming up and looking into hell. I see the smoke. I see the fire. I can imagine that. I can imagine with everything I can, under the best of my ability. I can imagine hearing the screams and hearing the wails. I can imagine the Bible said it was a place of outer darkness. And I can imagine, Brother Sammy, just barely being able to make out a body. Just barely being able to make out a carcass. It's the term that the Bible used. But friend, I want to borrow your imagination for just a few moments. I hope you can imagine that with me this morning. But I want you to do better than that. I want you to peer through the smoke and peer through the darkness and do your best to put a face and put a name to hell this morning. What is it, friend, that we'd see if we could look into hell? Well, go with me this morning to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16 this morning. Let me give you a few things. I'll not be before you long about what we'd see if we could look into hell. Verse number 24, notice what the Bible said. This rich man in verse 23, the Bible said, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24, the Bible said, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Watch this, for I am tormented in this flame. Can I say this morning? If we can pull back the ground, pull back the earth, and pull back the rock, and Brother Chris, look into hell, we'd see a place of fire. That's not a figurative fire, but it is a literal burning hell. You say, preacher, surely you don't believe that. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Kirk, I'm talking about a literal burning hell with literal fire. And that rich man said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I'm tormented not in this heat but in this flame. There were literal flames, literal fire that was licking on his body and burning his body, and it tormented him. Can you imagine? I remember several years ago, before he passed away, my grandpa was a burning a brush pile, and he slipped on a log, Brother Chris, and he didn't fall in the fire, but he fell in the ashes, in the coals. And when he did, he stuck his hand out to stop himself and stuck his hand and his forearm, Kirk, up in those embers and in those ashes, and it literally melted the skin off of his arm and off of his hand. He told me he'd been through many things, but it was the most painful thing that he'd ever faced in his life. But hell will not be for a moment. It'll not be for a few seconds. It'll not even be for a year. But Samuel will be for an eternity. A fire licking on your body and the immense heat. Can you imagine, friend, being able to look into hell and seeing the fire burning this morning? But not only is it a place of fire, but I want to say this. Look in verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Brother Sammy, it's not only a place of fire, but I want to say this. It's a place of famine. It wasn't the fact he couldn't find water. It wasn't the fact Kirky's too lazy to go get water. There was no water. I went to school with a boy. In fact, he lives. I just feel like preaching. He lives right over here in Low Gap. I went to see him not too long ago and he wasn't there. I want you to help me pray, Brother Sammy, that I can get in touch with him. But he told me when we was in school, he said, Poncho, I keep a six pack in the back seat of my truck all the time. He said, because if I ever have a wreck, I'm going to grab it and carry it with me so I can party in hell. Friend, hell will be no party. There'll be no beer. There'll be no wine. There'll be no water. There'll be no Gatorade. There'll be nothing. It's a place of famine. There'll be nothing to cool your tongue. There'll be nothing to release the flames. There'll be nothing this morning. It is a place of famine. There is no liquid. Can I say this? It's a bad thing for your stomach to growl and be hungry. But there's nothing no worse, Brother Sammy, than for your mouth to dry out and get to where you can't hardly swallow. And you get no moisture. Be that thirsty. I've been thirsty many a day. I'm working in the field or working on a track, whatever the case may be. But I've never experienced a thirst to where I'd have been happy for somebody to dip their finger in water and touch it to my tongue. But Kirk's, that's the thirst that's in hell this morning. And that rich man, Brother Chris, is still in hell and he's still in the flame and he's still crying out for one drop of water this morning. The place of fire. It's a place of famine. I want to say this. If we can pull back the curtains of hell and look in just for a moment, I want to say this. Not only is it a place of fire and a place of famine, but we'd realize it was a place for forever. Watch verse 26. Notice what your Bible said. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. Watch this. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Realize this morning, friend, hell is not a refiner's fire. It's not a place to go for a little while until the sins. I know people believe that, Brother Sammy, that they'll go and their sins will be burned away and then they'll be eligible. That's not it, friend. It's forever. In fact, you'll find the Bible said those that would come from hence to you cannot. Brother Sammy, I don't know, but I wonder how many mamas in that day when we see them cast into the lake of fire, I wonder how many mamas would beg and say, Lord, let it be me. Not my babies. But friend, it'll be too late then. I wonder how many daddies will look at their wives and say, no, Lord, don't send me. But it'll be too late, Brother Sammy. I wonder how many pastors will say, please, don't send my flock. But it'll be too late in that day. I wonder this morning, friend, there is no escape. There is no coming to you. There'll be no way. The Catholics believe if somebody dies, Brother Kirk, they believe if they say enough prayer on their behalf, they can pray them out of heaven. But the we take our last breath, it is too late. You've went out in eternity to meet God, ready or not. It is too late. It's a forever place. Friend, we shout and rejoice, and rightly so, that heaven will be for an eternity. I say thank God for that. But don't forget this morning, there is a heaven to gain, but there's also a hell to shun, and it'll be for an eternity as well. Heaven will be be an eternity of life everlasting, and hell, Kirk, up be an eternity of eternal damnation and death. That's what hell will be. The Bible said, where their worm dieth not. Brother Sam, I believe it'll get right to the brink. I mean, your body will decay. Your body will burn. But it'll never completely be destroyed. It'll be an eternity over and over and over again. That's what we'd see if we could look into hell this morning. That rich man in hell realized, Bible said, lift up his eyes in hell, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He realized it was a place of fire. He realized it was a place of famine. He realized it was a place that would be forever. But then I want you to notice this. Look with me in verse 28. This morning, if we could look into hell, I wonder what it is we'd see. Tell you what this rich man saw. But Sam, he saw a place of fire, a place of famine, and he realized it'd be forever. But what about this? He realized his family could come. When he looked into hell, and Brother Sammy, he was in hell when he lifted up his eyes, the very first thing you'll see him praying for, asking for after that he asked for water, he realized, Kirk, there was no hope for him. And he said, well, send Lazarus to my five brethren so that they'll believe and not come to this awful place. Friend, can I tell you something this morning? As we look into hell, and I hope and pray to God that God would help us get an image of hell clearer than we've ever had. But I hope and pray this morning we look in and begin to see our family. Kirk, there's nothing saying my family won't go to hell. That's exactly right. Brother Sammy, I was thinking this morning. I thought, oh God, help me when I look into hell to see my youngins. Help me when I look into hell to see my cousins. Help me when I look into hell to see my family and get a burden to realize they can go this morning. That's exactly right. Just because this morning I'm the pastor of Blue Ridge Baptist Church, just because I'm saved, their mama's saved, their grandma's saved, does not mean, Brother Sammy, that my youngins are hell proof. It'll have to be by the shed blood. That's exactly right, friend. And let me just echo this. It's got me in the past, trouble in the past. But I'm going to go one step farther than Brother Sammy did. Brother Sammy, the night I got saved and the blood was applied to my heart and life, I could not go to hell if I wanted to. And you say, preacher, you got Bible to back that up? I sure do. Paul said he would to God that he could be accursed for his people's sake. In that, you know what Paul was saying? I wish I could go to hell for Israel to be saved. Yeah. Exactly right. But you know what, friend? Just like Brother Sammy said, Paul did not have the ability nor the power to pluck himself out of the Father's hand. The blood had been applied. I got fire insurance the night I got saved. There'll never be one hair of my head touched. That's exactly right. But God help us that are saved by the grace of God to look into hell while it's still time and see a picture of our family, to see our babies and our grandbabies and our mamas and our daddies and our brothers and our sisters and our aunts and our uncles. That's what that man did. He said, send Lazarus to tell my five brethren. Yeah. The Bible said, for I have five brethren, they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Friend, if we could ever get a picture of what hell really looks like, my soul, what a burden we'd have for our family. Heard of a man one time, I'd say this and I'm hurrying, heard of a man one time was in a meeting, and he got so overwhelmed and so burdened, Brother Kirk, by what the man of God preached that night. He left the meeting and he told the man of God, he said, you pray for me. He preached Brother Sammy on the second coming of the Lord. And preached, the story goes, he preached it with such passion and such unction that this man and the congregation become so overwhelmed, realizing that it could literally be that night. He left that night and shook the preacher's hand. He said, sir, please pray that the Lord to give me 8 hours until he comes back. And he said, why do you say that? He said, I've got a daddy who lives 8 hours away and he's lost on his way to hell. And I want you to beg God to give me 8 hours just to go tell my daddy one more time. That story goes, he went, Kirk knocked on the door, never said one word. The daddy opened the door and said, for 8 hours, God's wrung my heart out. Tell me what I've got to do to be saved. That's exactly right. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I was saying this, if we really believed it could be any day, if we really believe in a literal burning hell, if we really got a glimpse of what hell would be like, how many would we have to go see? How many would we have to beg and say, Lord, don't let it be yet, until I see my babies get in, until I see my grandyoungers get in, until I see my daddy get in. Oh, friend, how we need a burden for our family this morning. Not only do we, when we look into hell, could we see our family? I want to ask you this. Maybe this morning you look into hell, and I hope with everything I've got, you're doing everything you can to close your eyes and with your mind's eye imagine what hell would be like. It may not just be family, you see, but it may be friends, you see. Wonder how many co-workers, if it were to be today, wonder how many co-workers would die and go to hell that we come in contact with day after day after day after day, brothers. Amen. Wonder how many this morning, them childhood friends we had in school. And I got to think about that last night, and I thought how many of them that I went to school with, and I'll be honest, Brother Sammy, I graduated in 2011, and the majority of them, I've never seen them again. They went off to college. I don't know where they are. And I thought, I wonder how many of them, if they died right now, how they died and go to hell. And I had 4, 8, 12 years with some of them, how that I could have been a witness. I could have told them. How many times, Kirk, did I waste an opportunity? What life did I live in front of them? And they're may come a day, Brother Sam, their blood will be required at my hands because I never put their face in hell. I never saw them going to hell. I thought about a nameless rich man. And let's just be honest, I'm preaching to me if nobody else. Kirk, that nameless rich man doesn't bother me that bad. Sammy, I don't know who he is. I don't know what he looks like. All I know is he's a rich man that lived a long, long time ago. But when you get talking about my babies and my family and my friends, that begins to bother me. That breaks my heart. Chris, when I begin to think about Andrew being in the fire, being in the crying out for a drop of water, that breaks my heart. To live a life in front of him that he could see Christ. When I begin to think about co-workers and people that I know, people that, that's exactly right, how it breaks our heart this morning. My, so I don't know who it is this morning you put a face to. When you put a face to hell, maybe it's family, maybe it's friends, maybe it's just acquaintances. Myself, we'd really get a picture of hell. I like over in Acts 27, I believe it is, the Bible said, I'm a paraphrasing, but Euryclodon's hit that great storm. And the Bible said the captain of the boat was counting the people. He was counting people, and Paul was counting souls. Isn't that right? Hey, can I just say this? You ever get a glimpse of hell? You ever realize, any of those realize, everybody we come in contact with has got a soul that'll spend an eternity somewhere. That's my prayer, Brother Sammy. I'm just being honest. That when I'm a pumping gas, the Lord will let me see when somebody pulls up beside of me. Not what kind of truck they're driving. Not what kind of clothes they got on. That's exactly right. But that I'd see a soul, Brother Chris, that's either going to heaven or hell. My soul, how we'd get a burden if we could look into hell this morning. Maybe this morning I'm dying. We look into hell, we'd see fire, we'd see famine, we'd see a place of forever. We might see family this morning. We might see friends this morning, but this is where I really won't get. Maybe this morning when you listen to the sound of my voice, and when you close your eyes and you imagine hell, it's not family that you see. It's not friends that you see. But if you'd be real honest this morning, when you close your eyes and you imagine hell and try to put a face to hell, it's not mama, it's not daddy, it's not your brother, it's not your boss, but it's your own future that you see. And God the Holy Ghost done come by your heart and revealed to you this morning you're lost on your way to hell. How can I say this? There is an answer for your sin. There is a way of escape. There is a way out this morning. And it's not anything you do, but it's what he did. Oh yes, friend. friend. I want to ask you, if you listen to the sound of my voice and you say, preacher, it's me. When I close my eyes and imagine hell, I see myself. When I imagine that carcass, it's not anybody else's face, but it's my face that I see. That's my future. If something doesn't happen, if I died right now, I'd go to hell. Can I tell you this, friend? There is an answer. There is a way out. There is a way this morning. You can lay your head down tonight and not fear about dying in your sleep. There's a way this morning. You know that you know that you know that if you died, heaven would be your home. That you couldn't go to hell if you wanted to. There is a way to be sure this morning. You say, preacher, what is it? Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. First thing you've got to do this morning is realize you are a sinner. Realize that hell's what you deserve. You say, preacher, I just don't know about that. If you never show a man he's a sinner, Brother Sammy, it'll not take long to look for a Savior. That's exactly right. You'll never cry out for help till you realize you're lost this morning. And if you look into hell and you see yourself, you realize this morning you're a sinner. You realize you deserve to go to hell. You realize if you had justice, that's what you'd get. But I'm glad, thank God, the Bible said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for you to clean up or get better, but he loved you enough knowing you deserved hell, to send his only begotten son, to die in your stead, and to pay your sin debt, so that you could be saved by the grace of God. You say, preacher, how do you know? The Bible said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. While we deserve death, while we deserve hell, God gave us the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind, and that the shed blood of his darling son paid our way that we could have eternal life. Say, preacher, what do I do? Romans 10:13, the Bible said this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, I want to invite you this morning. Brother Samuel's already said, I can't close the invitation. I can't open it. But I want to invite you this morning, wherever you are, if you look into hell and you see yourself, I want to invite you this morning, would you right where you are this very moment, would you bow your head, believe with all your heart that God has saved you, believing that he sent his son to die for you, believing that he died on Calvary, was laid in a barred tomb, and arose on the third day. If you believe that this morning, believe he'll save you, and you ask him to save you, on the authority of the Word of God, that's exactly what he'll do this morning. Child of God, I want to ask you a question. I wonder this morning, how many of you, how long has it been since you took a look into hell? My soul, what a shame it is to seem like we get to the place where we know we're saved. And Brother Sammy, I believe, said he'd been saved 25 years. This upcoming year, I'll be saved 20 years. And that's almost hard for me to believe, Brother Sammy. But I'm afraid oftentimes I get calloused. And oftentimes, Kirk, I realize I'm saved and my wife's saved, and as far as I know, my immediate family's saved, Brother Sammy, by their testimony. And man, sometimes we get calloused, and sometimes we get to thinking everything's all right. But what about that extended family? What about our friends? What about our associates? What about the ones we come in contact with? God help us this morning to get a burden for the lost. Aren't you glad somebody had a burden for you? Aren't you glad, whether it's a man of God, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a family member, whether it's somebody, whatever the case may be, aren't you glad, whether it's in the house of God, if somebody come and knocked on your door, whether it's on your grandma's front, wherever the case, whatever the situation, aren't you glad somebody told you the Lord loved you and that he'd save you and he was the answer for your sin? But I wonder this morning how many times we've got the same burden that somebody had for us. My, my, my. When you look into hell this morning, what do you say? I'm going to tell a story, and I'm going to quit. I know you've heard it before, but I'm going to tell it one more time. A lady I worked with one time, Brother Chris, I was witnessing to her and another lady, and I asked her, her name was Rihanna, and I said, Rihanna, wouldn't you love to be saved? This was her exact words as she cussed me. She said, if I knew that I'd die tonight, I would not get saved. Brother Sammy, her sin debt was paid for long before she made that statement. But she set her head, she would not do it. Can I tell you what happened, friend? I got a phone call that night about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Said, preacher, just wanted you to know, if you come by the work tomorrow, we sure would appreciate it. I think we're going to have some people want to talk to you. Said, Rihanna died in a car wreck with her boyfriend this evening about 1 o'clock this morning. You say, preacher, what was the last thing she said? She told me if she knew she'd die tonight, she would not get saved. Friend, I wonder if God's let you peer into hell just a little bit this morning. You've seen yourself. There is an answer. You can replace. You don't have to die and go to hell this morning. There was a way that was made. But the thing about a gift this morning is you have to be willing to accept it. Wonder this morning, wherever you are, whoever you are, wherever you may be, whatever you're doing, I beg you this morning, would you bow where you are right now? Ask the Lord to save you, and He'll do it today. Thank you so much. We love each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you have a wonderful day. We love you. Good day, and God bless you.